becoming like your parents. Somebody said amen. Wow. All right. So someone rallies behind that. Someone says, oh, no. So we find that that does take place, and I'm walking on very sensitive, delicate ground since my parents come to church here. So I will say this. I am a product of my father. I am a handkerchief man. Ooh, that's what Cindy says. Ooh, and when the girls were young and they needed, a little drippage and they needed a little wipe, I'd go, oh, hey, let me take care of that. And it's the same handkerchief you're using. Well, yeah, it's just a handkerchief. And then I do my own laundry. That's for other reasons, another story. But Cindy definitely didn't want my handkerchiefs in with her laundry. She just, that kind of grossed her out. I don't know why. But anyway, so, we do become certainly like our parents. And some of that's good, some of that's bad. All of us have different histories. A message today for some of us can be a little bit hard because our situation growing up wasn't easy, wasn't good. And then there's those stories where it was really just horrific. And so, I understand that from afar. I really don't understand that in some ways because that wasn't my experience. So trying to be sensitive about that. But this idea of this great reversal, this great role reversal, we're talking about life hacks. We're not talking about shortcuts. Shortcuts can get us into trouble. But how to live wisely, a life hack when you just need a better way is what we're talking about. And this morning we're talking about the great role reversal happens as our parents start to get older. And what do we do? How do we navigate that? How do we honor our parents? And if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of us don't like this idea of becoming adults. We kind of think about this girl.
Why are you crying?
Because I don't want to be an adult.
You don't want to be an adult? I cry about that a lot too. Why don't you want to be an adult?
Because it's not fun. It's not fun. It's like a prison being an adult.
It is like a prison being an adult.
It's come up me. I don't want to be an adult. I don't even want to be a teenager.
Why not?
I just want to be a kid.
All of us have felt that way, and some of us feel that way today. Because with that becomes a different way of living. With that comes a responsibility. And at times, if we're really honest with it, it's heavy lifting. It's painful. And then at times, we realize that it's a painful pleasure serving our parents. And we're going to try to unpack why to do that. We read in Ephesians this, children, obey your parents the way the Lord wants, because this is the right thing to do. The command says you must respect or honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment, all the way back in Exodus. This is the first commandment that has a promise with it. And this is the promise, then all will go well with you, and you will have a long life on earth. The idea here is that we are to honor our parents regardless, and it is heavy lifting at times. And the promise that goes along with this is that it's saying what comes around goes around. Doesn't it seem like when you're kind to others, when you're generous with others, all of a sudden something good comes into your life? And it may just be on the level of your soul and your heart. Peace in your heart about honoring somebody else goes a long way. So we see actually the transition in this passage really from child to adult. How we navigate and work with our parents. But we all know that being a parent when we have little kids is tough, and it can be tough in different dimensions as we grow older and as our parents grow older and as our parents need some parenting. or some guidance, we come alongside them. They came alongside us, and now we come alongside them. And it reminds me of this gentleman.
Are you suffering from exhaustion, sleep deprivation, headaches? Is your hair thinning? Do you ever wonder to yourself, what happened? Then you might be suffering from parenting. Parenting affects 10 out of 10 mothers and fathers around the world and can lead to extreme debt and loss of self-identity.
You get the idea. So why does God give us this commandment? Because first of all, we realize there are no perfect parents. So how are we to honor, respect, when there's this spectrum of pretty good parenting, okay, not so good, and then horrific, difficult parenting? Some of us grew up with parents that were alcoholics, and that affected everything. Some of us grew up with parents that were emotionally absent from our lives. Some of us grew up with parents that were so involved with things that there was just really never time for us. Even though they were around, they weren't really around. On the outside, it looked like things were great and, you know, nice family, but living in the family really just was not great. So there's no perfect parents. So we come to this with understanding that. There's no perfect people. That's the reason, you know, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which points to the fact that Christ came and gave his life for us so we could have forgiveness of sins, because there's no perfect people. So just, you know, getting over that God commands us, understanding that there are no perfect parents. And we could go through the Old Testament. We go through not as many stories in the New Testament, the Old Testament specifically, and we would be hard-pressed to find some good parents. There's always this other piece of it, because there are no perfect parents. But at the same time, as I say that, that's not an excuse for us to be sloppy with our parenting. It's not an excuse to be sloppy with honoring our parents, respecting our parents, and even at the right time, maybe parenting our parents. Also important with understanding is that respect for authority begins at home. All of us have to learn how to do things we don't want to do. We have to figure that out. All of us submit to somebody. God established family. God established church. An assembly of Christians. Remember, we've talked about that. It's not building. It's a group of people. A better translation would be assembly. So you've got families, assembly of Christ followers, the church, and also the government. You can look at passage after passage that says God has established these systems for there to be some authority, for them to be some order. And what's really hard is we look at our world and look at what's going on today. We go, ooh, especially when we look at our greater world government and all of that, and even when we look at churches, and even when we look at our family life. But this is where it gets hardcore built into us. And the first time a quote-unquote grown-up adult has a job and they don't want to do something and they've never been taught authority, and they say, I'm not doing that, or I don't want to do it, and they discover they don't have a job anymore, it's a surprise. We're not talking about being told to do things that are wrong, criminal, or that kind of thing. Just a way of doing it. I want you to do it this way. And I remember learning this in one of my first jobs, that if he wanted me just to sit in a room and watch the paint dry, he was paying me. That's what I was to do. It was his prerogative to make that decision. So, again, respect for authority, and we live in a society where it seems to not exist. There is this idea where there needs to be authority for a position. That doesn't mean it's blind authority, but there is this idea, and we can see as these concepts, as these principles, as these values are communicated and lived out less and less on both sides of that aisle, if you will, it just gets worse. Society's not getting better. Obedience is a good thing. When there isn't obedience, when there isn't submission, it creates pain. It does not create the freedom that we think. Sometimes I talk about, you know, if there was free day on Route 90 and you could go as fast as you wanted to go, as slow as you wanted to go, you could drive any kind of vehicle, you could walk, you could run, you could drive a tricycle on it, you could go west on the eastbound, east on the west, you could just do anything you wanted to, you could put a towel out in the middle of the road and get a tan. That day you wouldn't want to ride on Route 90. Those rules actually help you get from point A to point B as safely as possible. It doesn't mean there's no room for accidents and those things, but they're designed to make it be safer. So just that whole idea of rules helping us get from one point to another. So we need to learn how to live with authority. It's a basic principle. And then also, this one's really hard. How I relate to my parents will affect other relationships in my life. And some of us are in a situation where that's just left out there hanging. Maybe our parents aren't living anymore. Maybe there's some reason that we just don't have a relationship with them. But it does affect that. I know that I've had people work with me, for me, I guess you'd say, above me. And I've discovered sometimes when their relationships with their parents, a lot of times it was their dads, were not healthy or not had a closure, it really affected the way they led in those organizations. It's not kosher in a sense to do this, but I like to hear when we're having somebody come on staff or whatever, I like to hear their family experience because that speaks to some way of how they're going to interact with the community. So again, how I relate to my parents will affect other relationships. And sometimes you see triggers. You sometimes see a spouse is all of a sudden like, wow, that made me feel like when my dad or my mom used to do this. And all of it, and there may be no intent of that. They may not even be traveling down that road. But again, those unresolved things. So the idea here is to get it resolved. And it may be just forgiveness in your own heart. And maybe before God saying, I've got to let this go. I've got to forgive them. I've got to understand there's no perfect parents. That doesn't excuse what they did or how they did it or what they didn't do. But I've got to come to some kind of terms of closure with that. And some of us may need counseling. This is just throwing it out there. You may need to spend a season of your life kind of rectifying these kinds of things. And, if that's where you are and that's where you're feeling, please contact me, contact the church, speak to me, and we can point you some directions of some good Christ-following counselors. When it comes to counseling, it's good to have someone who understands the human behavior sciences and then knows how to understand the scriptures and is able to take the diagnosis and come up with the prescription in line what Christ would have us to do. So you need both of those components. Sometimes I'm a little leery of someone who's just shaking a Bible and that kind of a thing. I think there's more going on, and there needs to be an understanding of that. And you can see it if you look at the Old Testament, there's a lot of dysfunction. And it seems a lot of the dysfunction never kind of gets settled. It just kind of like hangs out there. You look at David, we're studying him when we get through this series back to Seeking the King. We see that there's just all kinds of craziness. The whole legacy of that reign is just all over the place because of that. So something just to be aware of it. So question then is, how do I honor my parents? Again, I think there's three different stages. You might even be able to break it down to more, but for us this morning, there's first of all, as a child, how do I honor my parents? As a child, I honor my parents by obeying them and respecting them. Children, obey your parents the way the Lord wants, because this is the right thing to do. So there's one pressure where we say, so child, kid, obey me. But then there's the other side where you say, are you being an honorable parent? Are you really embracing what it means to follow Christ? And is that reflected in the way you parent? And basically, we're works in progress. No one taught us really how to be parents. I mean, there's some concepts out of there, but it's really on-the-job training. I've shared with you countless times. We had kids. I thought we were having kids to raise them. And I discovered the kids were raising me because I had to learn all kinds of things. I had to learn how to not get so irritated with them that, you know, I wanted to spank them more than they should be spanked because they bugged me. They did something. They broke something. I had to learn how not to do that or even just be verbally all over them. I've joked about, you know, all three of them being vomiting sick and, you know, I'm trying to learn how to, at 2 a.m, try to deal with that, try not to get upset with Cindy, who's trying to do the same thing. We're just trying to get it done so we can go back to bed, washing sheets, running out of sheets, and, you know, it's just, you're just crazy. How do you deal with that? So there's this part, yes, children, obey and respect, and also parents, you're learning how to do this firsthand when you're engaged as a parent. So be a parent that makes it easier for your kids to obey and respect you. That doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect ride, but that's at least half of the battle or more. And kids, we need to teach our kids to obey. I don't think kids have changed in the days of society. Everyone goes, oh, the kids are different today. No, I think the parents' engagement has changed. Kids haven't changed. Because sometimes I find some of the, especially when I was a youth pastor, some of the most quote-unquote labeled unruly children, if you gave them a little respect, if you gave them good expectations, they would start to fly right most of the time. And so I really do think, you know, it's not kind of joke sometimes, you know, with our girls, when we would tell them how, you know, how to jump, they would say, how high? And so sometimes when I hear arguments about just even jumping, I'm like, what's going on here? And it's not that, you know, Cindy and I were super great parents. It's just that we held a line with them. Now it changes again if there's chemical imbalances and medical things going on. But, you know, just saying how it is, we really can equip children to learn how to obey and respect others. And that's going to shape and form the way they approach all of life. Already said this, you know, disobedience brings pain and obedience brings freedom. And that's absolutely true in our own personal relationship with God, and that's true with our children. And again, the pain is not retaliation, it's discipline. It's to shape their direction, their movement through life. So it's not about hurting them because they've upset us, they've inconvenienced us. That's a part of the deal. You're a parent. That happens all the time. Just think how you've inconvenienced God. You know, oh, man, I just did this. And God's like, oh, wow, you really made a mess of that. And, you know, and again, he's got all power, all strength. But, you know, we're doing it all the time to our Heavenly Father. So just understanding that our kids are going to do that to us, that's kind of a lesson for us. But obedience brings freedom. Following God, aligning with his ways, doesn't make life a breeze, but it definitely puts things into perspective. It's a good building block. And some of us are building our lives on things that are not a strong foundation and eventually comes to catches up with us. And I don't say that with any joy, but that's just, it's just what happens. And so again, this whole concept of getting our kids in this place, but also making sure we may be learning these things where we didn't learn these. So as a young person, as a teenager, as a young adult, I honor my parents, accepting and appreciating them. So we need to honor them by accepting and appreciating them. And you know, and I'll say this, as long as your kids are dependent on you, you have some authority in their life. And if you're 25 and still living at home, and I would still be living at home if I didn't get married. Well, kind of now I am living at home, but anyway, with my parents. But you know, I would have gone, you know, why not? But as long as you are not independent, your parents have some ability to speak into your life. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, if you're still on their insurance, and now you can be on their insurance till they're 26, they at least should have a voice. You're not totally free from their voice. I remember sharing that with the girls. You know, Sarah and Hannah were nurses at 20 up at Strong's, and they were on our insurance policy for a little while. They were living in our house, and yes, I didn't want to micromanage their life, but they still, you know, had some responsibilities to us. We wanted to know what time they were going to be home just because we'd worry about them. We wanted to know what they, you know, were doing, and that was our right. If they wanted to live independently of us completely, then my voice is a little bit less. But actually, I still have a voice to some degree. Mariah, the same thing. So you may not like that, but as a young person, but again, if your parents are saving you a couple bucks a month because they facilitate something for you, they at least have a voice in your life. And so that acceptance means a couple things. We're going to say, and this isn't in your notes, the next three things. Acceptance, realizing that God used them to bring me into the world. So you may say, I had a really bad relationship with my parents and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But at the most basic level, you are a product of them. And so God used them to bring you into life. So there is some respect, there's some portion of respecting them and acceptance. Also, again, we already talked about listening to what they have to say. I think also as time goes on, you ought to listen. That's a way to honor. You don't have to follow everything they say to do, but there's some honor in that. We read in Proverbs this: listen with respect to your father who gave you life, and don't despise, neglect your mother when she grows old. Just the idea of, listening to what they have to say, allowing them to have a voice in your life, and hopefully they know you pretty well. Hopefully they have a glimpse of your heart and soul that maybe you don't. Maybe it's warped a little, so you got to take that into account. But hopefully they, until you know you're married, they should be the ones who know you pretty well. And even if it is interpreted through a grid that is bothersome, they still did raise you and know you. And appreciation again, includes these ideas. Enjoy all the good that which the Lord your God has given you and your family. So this idea of appreciating them, and understanding that they've blessed your life, you can appreciate their efforts. And some you may say they didn't give too much efforts to my life, but they gave some efforts to your life, even in the worst case scenarios. You can appreciate their sacrifice. Normally, under circumstances, your parents have done things and have sacrificed for your well-being, whether it's financially, emotionally. I think of the times where Dad and Mom would drive me places, just even take me to the doctor's appointments as a kid, or whatever, picking me up after a sporting event, all these kinds of things. Just, again, appreciating their sacrifice. All those Sears Tough Skin blue jeans they bought me. Remember Tough Skins? Ugh. Anyway, yeah, from Sears and Roebuck, and Husky, of course, size, but you remember that? You remember those, yeah. So appreciate their sacrifices. Listen to your father. Without him, you would not exist. Again, same idea. When your mother is old, show her your appreciation. So as a young adult, a young person that's still got some kind of foot in, or the parents have some kind of peace in your life, they're facilitating your ability to live. They're giving you a deal on rent. They pay your insurance, your cell phone bill. And again, if they're willing to do that, celebrate that. Don't go, I need to be, don't be dumb about that. If they're willing to help you out with that. But remember that they do have a voice in your life. And I'm going to say even after that, they should have to some degree a voice in your life. You don't have to do exactly what they say, but they have a voice in your life. As an adult, I honor my parents by affirming and not abandoning them. Affirming and not abandoning them. Never walk away from someone who deserves help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. And how much does that apply to your parents? Help them. Come alongside them. Don't abandon them. Don't keep affirming them. Paul writes to Timothy, anyone who won't care for his own relatives when they need help, especially his own family, has no right to say he is a Christian. Such a person is worse than an unbeliever. Paul is saying this is basic, basic, basic. You take care of your family. You take care of your parents. I'm going to give you some guidelines in a moment, so bear with me. But this is basic ideas. Learn first of all to put your religion into practice by caring for their own family. And so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. This idea, again, of coming alongside and being there for your parents. Now, it's all different for all of us. All different for all of us. So those of you know, yes, my parents, we bought a house specifically that had an in-law apartment. We moved 2.5 years ago. My parents helped with the finances so we could do that. And so we live in this house. They have their own place. So, but don't think we're doing it perfectly. Don't think that that's what you're supposed to do. The idea is you need to walk with God and know how to express being there for your parents without abandoning them. And I have had friends that their parents end up in nursing homes. That's the best thing. Sometimes parents end up in the homes. There's all kinds of different expressions of this. What I really want to draw your hearts to, your minds to, your soul is to think this through. What is my responsibility, and how do I express that responsibility? Again, I remember when Cindy's dad was very ill and Cindy's mom wanted to keep him at home, but there was all kinds of medical things, and he had Alzheimer's, dementia, and it's great that we're having that seminar, so this is a good, just very timely that we're doing that after church, but it just made it tune. We told mom, we said, it's time for dad to go into a nursing home. He's stronger than you. You have trouble moving him around. This is legitimate. And another situation, we'd say, no, it's okay for him to stay home. You've got to really think it through, pray it through, and I absolutely believe that God can give you insight so that you don't have regrets, that you do it right for the way you're supposed to do it. So this idea of taking care. So what gets hard is when parents have not been honorable. Parents, whether we consider them honorable or not, are to be honored, and we've kind of touched on that. They're the ones who gave you birth. We've talked about this, and I'm not going to go through all this, but I encourage you to look at this 1 Samuel passage where Jonathan and his father Saul get into it. Saul throws a spear at him. Saul was in the habit of losing his temper and throwing spears at people. And he was actually trying to kill them. Fortunately, it was a bad shot, but he did this all the time. And, so Jonathan's father Saul was not honorable. But if you walk through, you'll see how Jonathan honors his father. So real quickly, just some thoughts. Always respect your parents even when it's difficult. Don't shame them. Don't embarrass them. Have some respect for them. You can disagree with somebody and still respect somebody. In our society today, those things don't match up. They don't match up. If you disagree, then you don't respect them. We need to get back to learning how to disagree and still respect somebody else, even when it's difficult. So when it comes to our parents, that, again, doesn't mean we give them a pass on some sinful behavior, some horrendous behavior, but there is this idea that there is some kind of respect. I think you need to work that out and try to figure out what that looks like for your situation. Find ways to affirm good things they did in your childhood. Just come up with one thing, two things. Hold on to that memory and affirm it, especially when they get older and are feeble, and now you're really, that great reversal's taking place. You're responsible for caring for them. You're responsible for building into their life, to helping them, even though that's so difficult. And I could tell you stories where there were parents that were just horrendous. And most of the time where the kid, now an adult, stepped up and cared for that parent, they don't have regrets. It wasn't easy, but they would still do it again. So trying to affirm and trying to realize the good things that they did in your life. Find ways to encourage your parents, to support them, to look at that direction. And again, it can get harder. Sometimes it's just patience. Sometimes it's slowness. I've shared this, this one gentleman who was a big-time GE executive. I think I shared this maybe last week. And he had really slowed down physically, and I'm on my way out of his apartment, and it's like 120 degrees in the apartment, and I'm dying, and he forgot that he hadn't given an offering check to the church. And I kid you not, it took him 15 minutes to go get the checkbook, open it up, write it, and I just encouraged him. I encouraged him because he's stuck in this old body, even though his mind is alive and vibrant. And so trying to figure out ways to encourage your parents. Along with this is set healthy boundaries. When I say this, make sure they're healthy. Make sure they're reasonable. Don't let this be overplayed or underplayed. Remember when my parents were still living in Massachusetts, and every once in a while my dad would bring a box up with all these so-called treasures, and he wanted me to take them, and I would say I appreciate that, but I don't want them, because they're going to sit in my basement, and then someday my kids are going to be going through our stuff, and they go, what's this box? Oh, this looks like some stuff that Grampy gave Dad, and then they're going to take it and go, whoop, sorry, that's what's going to happen. And so I said, no, we're not taking it. Now somehow all that stuff is in my house. But anyway, but back then, I said no. You know, so boundaries, time boundaries. Sometimes your parents can do more than they say they can do. And you kind of go, no, I think you can do that. And just all that kind of stuff. But you got to think it through. You got to be aware. There's probably some other people in your life who've had to walk through some of these things before. Don't try to change your parents. You know, just don't try to make them into what you want them to be. Now you've got a little bit more influence, a little more control in their life, a little more direction. Let them be who they are. Now again, I'm talking about personality, the way they do things. You know, if you wish they were more organized and they're not, or they're too organized and you think they need to lighten up, let them just do their thing. And, you know, don't try to change them. Now, I've already talked about this, that moms and dads, we need to work at being honorable. Just the way we interact with our kids, you know, how we discipline, not nagging. I like this. Don't keep an eye on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with loving discipline. Again, discipline's designed to disciple and guide them, not just to punish them and to be on their back all the time so they can't wait to be free. I've seen this, believe it or not. I've seen parents that are so much on their kids that the minute they get freedom, they're like, gone. And it's because they've been just parents on their case nonstop about everything. Let some things go that aren't important. Anyway, you get the idea about that. Some other passages. I think it's important how Jesus talks about the person that abuses children. You'd be better off dropped in the middle of a lake with a millstone around your neck. I mean, millstone's not like just a little block. It's like huge. You're going right to the bottom. And so that's kind of interesting that Jesus has these harsh words for the person that abuses children. Then there's those folks that feel a little sad that they're without a parent. What about those without a dad or mom for various reasons? God himself says, my father and mother may abandon me, but the Lord will take care of me. Let God be your heavenly father, your heavenly parent. He has a special place for those that seem to be abandoned or separated from their parents. So as we try to wrap all of these ideas up, basically I'd like to have this with the thought, be careful with those who are expected to be careful with you. Be careful with them. They were expected to be careful with you, and maybe they weren't. But be careful with them. Honor and respect your parents. As a child, a young adult and as a grown adult. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We're thankful for the way it's so practical. There are lots of hard concepts to get around in this passage, and we just ask that you'd help us to see how they integrate into our lives. There's different expressions of this. I really believe that it's possible for every person to integrate life of honoring parents, no matter what their background is, no matter what they're facing. You are a God that's involved in our personal lives. You want us to experience closure. You want us to experience freedom. And when we don't obey you, there is pain. So whatever that may be when it comes to this subject, I ask that you'd help us to lean into you rather than lean away from you. I thank you that we don't have to face these things alone. We can face these things with you, of course. We can face these things with a community of believers, just a few individuals that help us take the steps to honor our parents and to be honorable parents. And again, for the person that's really hurting when we talk about these subjects, I'm thankful that you can offer peace that transcends all understanding. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name.